are dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. This show is live video. So if you're only listening and you want to watch, you can go to my website, The Queen of Dreams. You've got to type the in there, The Queen of Dreams, or KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. Go up in the right-hand corner of my website. You'll see a little button there that says radio show. Click on that. It'll take you to the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network website page for me. And then on there, you'll see a little YouTube, looks like a little TV. Click on that and you can watch us. So before we start our show tonight, we're going to be doing a little meditation. So if you're driving, when we go to that part, please do not close your eyes. The meditation is still going to work. But here's a question for you. Do miracles still happen? And I'd like to welcome you all to the Mayhem to Miracles launch. This is show number 5, and it's all about overcoming, not losing the hope to overcome. Do miracles still happen today? Are they real or just our wishful imagination? Tonight, we're going to speak with 4 of the Mayhem to Miracles Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope authors. I'm trying to get this up without the light on it. And they discovered miracles in the mayhem of sexual abuse, sex addiction, suicidal child, and codependency. Oh my gosh, their miracles are absolutely amazing. So grab your box of tissues and join us to cry and laugh and cringe, if you must, as we go through these real life stories of moving from mayhem into the miracle. But first, we're going to start this show with our favorite protection and cleansing meditation. So again, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes. It will still work. For those of you who are new to this show and you haven't done this meditation with us before, we're going to be taking in 3 really deep breaths and we're going to hold them so that any negativity that you may have picked up this week, your lifetime, whenever, is caught in that breath of life. And we're going to blow it out across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain, where it's going to be converted into beautiful golden light and returned to the universe. That way we will not be littering with our negativity, okay? And then I want you to imagine a power gift, something powerful to you. It can be anything. It can be a piece of jewelry. It can be a gift somebody gave you that was special to you, a hair barrette, anything at all. It can be imaginary that you just hold in your hand, or it could be a rock, a stone, or a flower that you have. That's your power gift. And we're going to use that to create a mirrored bubble around us. Okay, ready? Kind of settle on your chair. Feel yourself getting grounded. And I want you to take a deep breath in. Hold it. Imagine any negativity, any anxiety going into that breath of life. Blow it out across the room. Just let it all out. Feel yourself just relaxing. Deep breath in. Any negative thoughts getting caught in that breath of life, like little specks of pepper, something you said to someone, something somebody said to you. Blow it out across the room. One more time. Deep breath in. I want you to fill your lungs up completely. Feel that air going all the way to the bottom. Any negativity is caught up in that breath of life. Even negativity you don't even know you've got. Blow it across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain, where you see it converted into beautiful golden light and return to the universe. And I want you to hold your power gift in your hand and use it to swing it all around yourself to create this beautiful bubble. Has all the colors of the rainbow in it. And inside that bubble is beautiful golden light. And only that, which is of the highest and best, brought by your spirit guides and your guardian angels, may be brought into that mirrored bubble of light. Everything else is reflected back from whence it came. We wish it so, and therefore it is. So feel yourself relaxing and coming back. Open your eyes slowly, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest tonight. They're going to be talking about miracles that have happened in 2021. Miracles can be anything that happens in our life. And it's not just things that happen in the Bible. The four authors that we have on the show with us today have overcome sexual abuse, sexual addiction, a suicidal child, codependency, a divorce, and their miracles tell them, yes, miracles do still happen. And they're going to tell us their stories. They're here to share their insights on miracles in the new book, Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. So one of our guests is Laura Staley, and she is the author of My Son and Me. Laura deals with a suicidal son in her story, and she finds the miracle in the mayhem of a parent fighting for her child's life. Her quote is, "Two lives, like two pearls, formed from that, from all of that grit inside the oyster." So if you kind of think about it, you know, and this just came to me, so I'm going to be asking Laura about it. When we develop a child inside of us, they develop almost like a pearl within us, the oyster. So Laura Staley is the founder of Cherish Your World. And Laura passionately supports people by guiding them to holistic transformations of space, heart, and life. Laura writes personal essays featured on self-discovery. And you can learn more about her at cherishyourworld.com. Let me also say that there are very long bios about all of these authors on the show today on my website for Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. So if you want to learn more about them, you can go there, and their website links are hot. So you can click on those links. Laura's actually got three links on that website. You can click on all of them and just play on that page. The same thing is with Laura, L.E. Gray, in the book. And she is the author of From the Edge of Death to the Gift of Life. And as a young child, L.E. Gray is sexually abused by the parish priest. Yeah, you heard me right. And she's a published author, living kidney donor, and a fervent advocate for sexual assault victims. She's a proud mother of three sons and three fur sons, three fur dogs. And I actually don't know if they're sons, but they are fur dogs. And you can visit her at www.ipride.net. Again, you can learn more about her on my Dreaming Healing website, because the bio there is very long. We've got Lori Walker with us today, and she's the author of Mary Queen. Oh, what an incredible story that was. Her quote is, "My kindness connected us. Her kindness connected us. and we will always be a part, and she will always be a part of me. Let me read that again. Her kindness connected us, and she will always be a part of me. Her story is about how some people get it right the first time. They meet the love of their life while they are young, get married, have kids, and the white picket fence is always freshly painted. And then there is Lori Walker, who must deal with sex addiction, divorce, and abuse. Lori Walker is a USUI Reiki Master Practitioner, Holy Fire Reiki Master, a founding member of Book Club Pittsburgh, and featured on the cover of the 2021 Women's Yellow Pages of Greater Pittsburgh. Two of her poems, Tomorrow and I Want to Know, were published in Women's Independent Press. Then we've got Sharla Carpentier. Sharla is the author of An Alcoholic's Progression from Mayhem to Miracles. In a woman's quest to overcome the mayhem of alcoholism, she rediscovers herself and five miracles, not just one, but five. That's pretty amazing. Most people search for one. Sharla comes up with five. So Sharla Carpentier is a lawyer and recovered alcoholic who shares a passion for writing creative children's stories, a love for teaching, family, travel, adventure, and all the world's amazing creatures. Most certainly, llamas. Sharla is a mother of four, artist, writer, and poet. She created the Love Llama character. And so love is spelled with two L's. It's the L-L-O-V-E, the Love Llama character, and co-authored the Love Llama and Friends series with her cousin, Monica Kirkus. And you can learn more about her at www.thelovellamaandfriends.com. And don't forget, it's the love with two L's, llamaandfriends.com. So welcome to the show, ladies. We're so glad you are here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Hello to everyone.
So I want to start with Sharla. Sharla, you felt like, you know, your alcoholism and the ensuing mayhem were both progressive. You described them as progressive, like it just didn't happen overnight. Your childhood was full of codependency. Tell us a little bit about this. Tell us how your childhood became a reflection of your adulthood, resulting in this alcoholism, because I'm sure there are many people out there listening right now who are going, yeah, that happened to me, or did it?
Yeah, sure. I think that for me, the family dynamic was that I was kind of the glue that held us together, and I was supposed to be the peacekeeper, and I was supposed to play, you know, the good daughter, get good grades. Kind of, if I did everything right, then there was peace, so to speak. There really wasn't that much peace, but there would be some peace. And so I never really felt like I could be myself. I had to play a role, and when I found alcohol, it gave me the illusion that finally I could be myself and I could take care of myself. I was always kind of taking care of everyone else. And that progressed into adulthood. I mean, all my relationships looked like me being the caretaker and not taking care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that is something that a lot of women experience, being the caretaker, trying to keep the peace, trying to keep a lid on everything? Do you see that as something that happens a lot in women's lives?
Yeah, I do. I definitely think women are the, you know, supposed to be super women, super mom, and the nurturers. And, you know, if there's any kind of conflict, we're looked at to be that peacekeeper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is true. And that's, I really do believe that that's one of the reason why the majority of the stories in these books are women's stories. You know, those peacekeepers, those women who are trying to keep the lid on a pot that's ready to boil over are the ones often living in the mayhem of life. And that's why this book is so important, because not only are they living in the mayhem, but they find that miracle. We all love stories about what people are going through when they're in crisis, when they're in chaos, when they're in the mayhem. But what's really important is hearing how they came through the other side as the hero's journey. So Laura Staley, I want to talk to you about that, because in the book you wrote, my heart pounds, I dial 911, I feel my body center itself, I breathe deeply, I become the eye of the storm. Then my son is admitted to a psychiatric facility. Take us on this mayhem journey, Laura.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I'll first start by saying I love you, son, and to assure everyone in your listening audience that he's flourishing. So that's very much the miracle. So that particular day was terrifying, and yet I did find that place of being the eye of the storm. I had received text messages from his dad and his sister alerting me to, you know, something is desperately wrong. Interestingly enough, he did not send me anything. I had early in the day picked him up from being with a friend. And I had a sense of, being his mom, right? I knew some of the backdrop and the context in which this took place. And yet it was still so shocking to have it go to this level. The marriage had ended. He lost daily contact with his dad and his sister. His sister went off to college. That day, I basically asked his dad to not return to the home. And his dad didn't have a situation in which, because my son came to me and he said, you know, I want to split time with you and dad. But that couldn't happen because of his dad's living situation. So he was with me full time. And this is a very intelligent, very sensitive and compassionate person who I know had accumulated a lot of debris, including the part about the angst in the marriage. So even when he's 9 years old, right, I have a moment, and I share this in the story, where he's, you know, sitting there going, you know, you and dad are arguing, is this really, are you gonna get divorced? And at that time when he was nine, I was like, you know, yeah, I think we'll figure it out. We're smart people. But then here I am in the reality of the marriage ending, and then his struggles with his internal world. And I think that's really important for people to know. It was his internal world, mm-hmm. and his choices that he was making. And it was really important for me to navigate that mayhem, to stay distinct and separate, and to know that it wasn't my fault. Yes, did I contribute by arguing with his dad and, you know, some of my behaviors to his own dad? Absolutely. And I continue to forgive myself for that. And yet the courage to take those actions to get my son the care that he needed was immensely important. And I had this nurse in the ER who hugged me. And she just said, you know, just with such compassion, he said in my ear, she just said, it's not your fault. And the amazing thing, Kathleen, is I thought in my mind, no, it's not. And I really knew that deep down in my soul, which was a piece of what helped us go forward. I also got really clear that I envisioned my son's thriving life as well as my own. So those two pieces were really powerful anchors in my soul to continue taking actions. And I knew I could take responsibility for my life and keep going forward on my life trajectory of a single, happy, free Laura and my son's thriving life. So those became the two tracks that I was willing to, you know, focus on as the through lines that would take me through not only the difficult contested divorce, but also these struggles with my son. And at moments it was absolutely terrifying. And yet I always knew the next right action to take on behalf of my son. Mm-hmm. And I knew when to step in. And I knew even another time when I had to call the police. It's such an extremely difficult situation, and everyone's situation is different. I'm one of the blessed ones because I know suicide is a huge thing out there right now. And my heart goes out to any parent or loved one who has lost a loved one to suicide. And I say to people, I only put my big toe in that place, because I had those thoughts, like what if I actually lost my son? But the truth is I didn't. And, you know, got him the care that he needed. But of course it cycled down. There was another incident of him being hospitalized. And it was at that juncture that his dad and I really aligned with the care that he needed going forward. And that made a huge difference in his trajectory. I would also add that he broke the belief, which I think is really profound, that he was effed up. That was his way of saying it. And what he saw is he had done effed up things, which was absolutely accurate. And haven't all of us, right? At some
we
moment,
all do that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And yet for him to recognize that core belief wasn't true, that he wasn't an eff up. He had only just done effed up things. And it was a huge moment in his healing journey and his recognizing that he could take new behaviors. He could take new actions. He could do new behaviors to forward his life and to heal and to get a handle on what turned out to be his own addiction issues and his alcoholism.
Yeah. So he took responsibility. We've got to take a break, Laura. I hate to cut you off.
That's okay.
We've hit break time here. This show is going to go so quickly. So don't go away, everyone. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, a.k.a. the Queen of Dreams or Cat. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Can diagnose your life. What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, but everybody calls me Kat, so I hope you will too. Today we are here discussing Mayhem, Two Miracles with four of the authors in this book, which, by the way, Mayhem to Miracles is an Amazon bestseller, new releases. It's been on the Amazon bestsellers list now for, I think it's going on its seventh week. So it's pretty amazing. And it is the third book in the Sacred Stories series, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. And we're talking about hope. Just before we went to our break, we were talking about how, you know, sometimes the first miracle is actually embracing your responsibility in the things that you're going through, your son's going through. We were talking with Laura Staley about her suicidal son. And gosh, if that's not mayhem for any mother, I don't think there is anything worse than that. So Laura, in the book, you are L.E. Gray. So I'm going to refer to you during this radio show as L.E. so people know where to find you in the book.
Thanks. That's fine. Yeah.
You say, I did not tell anyone the truth as the monster, our parish priest, had me convinced that no one would believe me. The monster repeatedly warned me not to tell anyone or he would kill me. But I did share my secret with the numerous friends I had created to support me during my lifelong healing process. And of course, Ellie is talking about being abused by the parish priest. So take us back, if you can, Ellie, to when you were a child and this was happening to you. When did you realize that you had these split personalities, that you had a shattering?
Thank you. So the abuse started when I was 3 years old, and it went on until I was shortly after my sixth birthday and I was hospitalized. So I didn't know. I mean, to me, they just came out of me, like many of us had their imaginary friends for whatever reason. So they were literally just an extension of me for definitely my whole life. And it wasn't until 3 years ago, which is really, that's really hard for me to even say and believe, mm-hmm. because it's like, in many ways, I've come a long way in 3 years. And just even knowing that, but I was, you know, diagnosed in the fall of 2018 with dissociative identity disorder. So when I found that out, it was like, oh, okay, well, I should feel relieved because that certainly explains a lot of my life. But in the same token, it was like painful going, when is the collateral damage going to stop? So that was hard. But I, like I said, I didn't have a conscious creation of them. They just developed out of the true power of my mind and my developing mind as a form of escape.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And so let me ask you something, which I'm sure the audience is probably asking right now. Did your parents have no idea that this was going on with the parish priest?
Well, that's, I've been asked that, and I will say I couldn't answer for them. Like, maybe they did. I don't know. As a child, I had no idea, and I was the youngest of eight. So there was eight children in 11 years, and none of us are twins. And my father worked two jobs, and my mother had multiple sclerosis in addition to managing, you know, eight children. So I don't know what anybody knew. I don't know if my older siblings suspected. When I first started telling people, because I did not tell anyone until I was 32 years old.
So you never mentioned anything to anyone, not even your best friend when you were a child?
No.
Nobody?
No, the only other person, aside from my alters, as I refer to them, that was aware was my Raggedy Ann. And she and I were sworn to secrecy, and I knew that my secret was safe in her little cloth heart.
Oh, I told you guys you needed to bring your tissues with you. Oh my gosh, if that doesn't have you welling up, nothing will.
I didn't share until I was 32, mm-hmm. and but many people, and I don't like to use the word victim because people can get stuck on that word, and I'm not a victim. I don't even know if I'm a survivor. I'm a healer. I'm happy. I'm thriving. So when people were like, I believe you, and I was like, oh God, I mean, it was like, oh God, you do? You know, and it just would disturb the flood. And I did ask, you know, some of my siblings, you know, like, well, where were you guys, you know? And I remember, you know, one of my sisters, I have five sisters and two brothers, and my one sister was like, well, anytime he came over, we left. He was creepy.
Well, oh, my goodness. They should have taken you with them.
I don't know if they thought that way back then. And, you know, no judgment, no blame. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's judgment or blame, there's no healing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So he did not touch any of your other siblings, just you.
I can't answer that question.
Oh. So
I'm not sure what secrets or scars some of my siblings may carry. I have no mm-hmm. idea. You know, this is my truth and I can only share my story. I will say none of them have come to me or come forward and said me too. I can tell you this person was a serial rapist in Northeast Ohio, and I've seen the spreadsheet of victims, and he died in 2015. But I will also say, which I feel is very important, is that I forgave him. I forgave him years ago. Mm-hmm. I'm what I will say, and some of the other women maybe can relate to this. It was almost easier for me to forgive him than it was to forgive myself. Because I blamed, even though I was a child, I blamed myself. I must have done the cartwheel. I must have been funny. I must have been, you know, and I can relate when Laura Staley was talking about the nurse that gave her the hug and said, it's not your fault. I needed that hug. Mm-hmm. I needed that hug. The little kid in me needed that hug, somebody to say, it's not your fault. And so as I began to speak my truth and share my story 20 years ago, well, 20 plus, and I can't believe it, when, you know, when I hear that now still, it resonates. It wasn't my fault. So mm-hmm. I have come to forgive myself and love myself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That could not be easy at all. And we're going to come back and we're going to ask you, you know, some more important questions. But Lori Walker, I want to ask you, you say in the book, sex addiction is a hard thing to talk about. There is guilt and shame on both sides. What did you mean when you wrote that?
Well, he was the one with the problem, and I was the one that didn't want to recognize it. I thought it would be okay. I thought that it would get better, and of course it never did. We didn't know how to address it. You know, we were both, at the time I was 21 and he was 18. And if you're reading the story, we blamed post-traumatic stress disorder because he was in Desert Storm. And he was 18 when he left. And so, you know, this 18-year-old kid goes to war, and what he saw was very real. There were times when he would get drunk and he would reenact it word for word. It was really frightening to watch. But because, you know, I loved him and I was going to save him, I thought, well, we can make it through this. I'm going to show him what it's like. He can depend on me. And without the guidance or without the knowledge, you know, being that young, you just don't, you think you can win, but it's, yeah. So he feels the shame because he's doing it. And I feel the shame because I'm letting it happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so were you aware that it was actually happening when it was happening, or did it suddenly just hit you one day?
Oh, my goodness.
Was it slowly or just boom?
Well, when the phone bill came, that's whenever I had my first, that knowledge. And it was funny because I was living
with the phone bill?
Oh, at first it was phone sex. It was just, that's why it was easy to just go, oh, yeah, whatever, you know. And it was, I don't want to say funny, but I lived with my girlfriend. Her name's Tammy. And I was in charge of phone. Phone bill was my name. That was part of my responsibility. And I remember the first one that came, and I'm like, what is going on? And he knew about it, and he didn't say anything. I went down to the phone company and was fighting them. I was like, what are these charges? Somebody is, you know, on our line. And he wouldn't even admit it. And that three times, because I thought the phone company was incompetent. And then after the third time, you know, he finally admitted that that's what was going on. Wait, maybe it was, he decided he was going to put the phone bill in his name.
Oh.
So, yeah, it mysteriously switched to that because, you know, I was going to shut it off. I'm like, you know, or change the number or something.
Oh, my goodness. So it was the phone bill that gave you the first, you know, inkling that something was wrong. And did it progress from there? Or once, you know, what made it stop? Or did it ever stop?
It took years to stop. And I'll tell you why. Because he got out of the Army and we went to live with his mother. And, you know, of course, nobody's going to say anything if it continues there. But she did tell me that she was discontinuing her long distance service. And I thought it was me calling home, you know, for my sister, which could have been, but I have a feeling it was something more. And then we came back to Pittsburgh and lived with my parents for a little while. And it took my dad 10 years after the divorce for him to tell me that it was happening at our house, in my parents' house.
The phone bills?
Oh, yeah. He was doing it in my parents' house.
He was doing what in your parents' house?
Having the phone sex and you know, while nobody else, yeah, late at night, you know, nobody knew. Well, my dad knew, but yeah.
Wow. Wow. Did it ever progress to anything beyond phone sex? I mean, were there other problems with the sex addiction too? Yes.
Yeah. The first affair that I found out about was, I would work the first shift and he would work second shift. By this time he was a corrections officer, and he would go out after work with his friends, and he came home with a tattoo of an eagle on his chest one night. And I was like, well, where'd you get the money for that? And he said his friend gave it to him. And then my girlfriend's husband, those two were friends. So I almost said his name. Can't do that. The two guys are friends. And, you know, he's bragging about, I got this tattoo. And I said, and the other friend asked how much he paid for it. And he goes, well, do you know how much? I told Lori I paid for it. So I thought I caught him in a lie about money. And so when I confronted him, it just, everything fell apart. And he just finally admitted that it was his girlfriend.
Oh, and my goodness.
Yeah, the girl, and this is the first time that when we were married that this came into the picture. So she would come over in the mornings while my son was at preschool. And she worked at the prison. She was a corrections officer, female corrections officer as well. So so that's when I left him. And I came home, I went back to my parents, and that only lasted a week. He was a sweet talker. Oh, you want to talk about charming?
They usually are. You know, we got to stop here to go to a break. We're actually a minute over it. But when we come back, this was really interesting insight. I'll bet you there are a lot of women going, okay, her story sounds similar to my story. So don't go away. We're going to be right back. You're listening to Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. And I'm your host, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, aka the Queen of Dreams. And don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every word you speak matters. What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Darkest hours to brightest moments, transformation from despair to happiness, and chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart
bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to the third section of Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com. I'm your host, Kat Canavis, and we are discussing Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. We have four of the authors from this book in here, and I just want to let you know it is available right now on Amazon. So if you want to fact check us, you can go to Amazon right now. So just before the break, we were talking about the sex addiction. And I got to tell you, during the break, we were talking about how just talking about this stuff, even though it's been years and years later, it is still emotionally charged. So like I said before the show, I hope you've got your box of tissues with you because you're probably going to need them. But now we're going to switch gears. We're going to go into the miracles in these stories. And you're probably sitting there thinking, there's miracles with this? Yes, there are. That's why we have this book. It's not just the chaos and the mayhem in these stories. It's the miracles that came out of them. So, Sharla, you talk about walking through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous was the first of your five miracles. Please explain that to us.
Sure. This is the fun part, right?
The miracle. Yes, part. This is the fun part. This is where we're supposed to put together now. Oh my goodness. And I'm the host. I'm trying to hold it together here. I almost broke down twice.
I know it's hard. It's good. It's a healing process. So yeah, I got to a point where I wanted to stop drinking and couldn't. It had progressed to that point. And my being a mom was being affected. So that's when I didn't care about myself, how I was harming myself. When it started harming them, because I hid it for a long time, then I said, I can't do this. And that's what motivated me through the doors, 12 step recovery. It took me a little while to actually turn it into, I'm doing this for me, I was really doing it for the kids at first. So that's a miracle, just getting to that point. Absolutely. Another miracle is that I am doing this for me. I do self-care and love myself, all those things that I didn't have that I was using alcohol to fill a void in my life. I got the strength to go through a divorce. Mm-hmm. That was another codependency thing. And I was just caretaking and giving away myself and, doing the right thing. Meanwhile, I was miserable and so much pain and suffering. So to take that power back, that's a miracle. Absolutely. Then I was able to switch careers and become this children's book author. And that's another miracle. I never really thought about what I wanted to do. It was more like what society wanted me to do or what my parents, what are the smart choices, to make versus what's my authentic self. So I was able to discover that.
That's beautiful. Laura, your miracle began when you, with a handwritten letter, you wrote, I opened the handwritten letter and wept as I read his words. Dear mom, man, it's been a long ride. 17 years of ups and downs in our relationship. However, something that has been consistent throughout all those years is you. You have showed up for me. Oh, Laura, tell us about that letter. Tell us what prompted him to write that. Why did he write that and where did he write it?
There had been a lot of letters going back and forth as he, got in the right situation and was getting a lot of support for his own healing. And of course, I had written letters with all the memories of the very good things about my son. And that happened to arrive on Mother's Day. And I literally, you know, I was walking.
Synchronicity, a little God wink there.
I was on a walk. You just like don't forget these moments, right? And just, you know, the tears are streaming down my face because it was a recognition that he had, you know, kind of come to that awakened moment and really realized. And it was true. I really did show up for him as an infant. I mean, I was fortunate as a full-time mom for a lot of my kids' lives, and to receive those words was a watershed. And then, of course, later he shared his personal amends with me, and again declared that I did everything a good mom would do, and that his choices were his choices. And then moving forward, it's just been a rich and very meaningful relationship. And there's a vulnerability in our sharing with one another that I treasure. But of course, I remember that from when he was a little boy, right? So it's kind of like he got access to these other parts of himself that he may have forgotten along the way in the dark months of his life. But as his mom, I was a holder of all those beautiful moments of who he, you know, his character qualities and the kindness that he had done. So it was a beautiful miracle. And he has since fallen in love, and so did I. So our parallel tracks have continued. It's an astonishing story. It really is. I'm grateful to this day for, you know, the deep internal work that he had to do with himself, right? To come to terms with the choices he was making and the life that was so sacred inside of him. And, you know, you were saying earlier about that poor Pearl, you know, when he was in my womb, I love both of my children deeply. And from the moment I knew I was pregnant, oh my God, you know, the love. And I knew I had to break patterns from my own, you know, childhood growing up. And, so was able to do a lot of that healing work with my own children and break those ties and break those patterns. And he, you know, the truth is he gets to be acknowledged for the deep dive work that he did. And in many ways, I just held space and just kept anchoring myself in my son's thriving life and, you know, cleaning up my act.
Because you're a family, but it was great that you held that space for him to grow into your life as well.
Right.
So, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah,
we appreciate that. Lori Walker, let's talk about your Mary Queen and how she helped you. That was 33 years earlier that Mary Queen came into your life. And Mary had been the victim of domestic violence and infidelity. And her abuse was far worse than yours. Yet she was there for you. And we all look for those Mary Queens, all of us on the show today, all of you listening out there, think back. Did you have a Mary Queen? So tell us about your Mary Queen, Lori.
The story, the essence of the story of our relationship and how we began was, it was the day I found out about his second affair, and he left me. Mm-hmm. And I was just crushed. And I literally collapsed onto the floor, and she heard me crying. You have to read the story to get the full amount, but she comes back and she says, get up. And I said, I can't move. And she goes, she drags me to my feet and she takes my face in her hands. And she says, you are going to be stronger and more beautiful than you can ever imagine. Do you understand me? Mm-hmm. And I said, why? Why would you help me? You don't even know me. And she said, because I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Those guardian angels that show up when we need them, that are our strength when we are on our knees. I mean, that is our Mary Queen. And that was 33 years ago. Tell us about...
Well, actually, our story was 20 years ago. 33 years ago is whenever she experienced her
trauma.
Kind of like a flashback of why she had been there.
You know, and I remember when I read your story in the book, Laurie, I remember thinking, you know what? Every single one of these women in this book, Laura Staley, Laura Gray, Sharla, you, Laurie, they all have the potential to be somebody else's Mary Queen. And now you're here on my radio show, bearing your souls to pick other women up who may be beaten down to their knees. So in a way, you guys are all Mary Queens. Your stories are out there helping women. Laura, a woman, a mother who's going, my son is suicidal, listens to your story and starts to follow what you did in order to help the relationship with her child. All of these stories are so important. I mean, these stories are amazing. Believe it or not, guys, we are out of time. This show went so fast. So, you know, that we opened with the question, do miracles still happen? And I think the answer is a resounding yes. Miracles are real. And these women that you just listened to on this show, prove it. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. You know, your miracle is probably staring you in the face. Get this book. It's on Amazon. Imagine this as a gift to yourself or someone you love. It could make a huge difference in their lives. So let's all hold our book up for the audience. Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. Get it now. So that's all we've got for today, guys. Thank you so much for being our guests. And until next time, everybody remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. See you next time. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kat.
Thank you for joining us this evening. And a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Kat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O-K-E-E-F-E-K-A-N-A-V-O-S. Or The Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.